Hey guys, welcome to our channel. My name is Pastor Sam and I'm so happy that you have tuned in today. It's 2025, can you believe it? We are here. But in this year, we are expecting more and more from God. In Psalm 115 verse 14, it says, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." So this year you can expect more glory, more power, more faith. Come on, guys, more anointing, more of God's goodness in your life. Expect miracles, expect breakthroughs, expect stubborn areas of your life to shift and change. Not only you, you and your children, the entire family comes along for more and more. Let's get to the word. Just stay standing, everyone. Let's get on our feet. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Those online, welcome. Let's stay locked in. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve what? No one can serve two masters, for either he will what? Hate the one and love the other." Imagine Pastor Cher having two husbands. I'm going to have a real problem. She can't fool me and tell me she loves me more than him and love him. We're going to have a fight. It's going to definitely be in that fight in that house. So you can't have two masters. Amen? I want to encourage you, when you come into church, get yourself, some of you, your phone. Right? When you put your phone on airplane mode, nobody's going to need you. They got 911. They can call them. Take some notes. Write something down. And take it home that you can review over the week. Get a pen or a paper. Our book. If you would like a church book, put up your hands. We'll get you one after church. Okay? We have books. We'll be happy to give you a church book. Amen? When we were little, we used to go to primary school. They used to give us notebooks. Anybody remember that? Yeah, back in the days, the schools used to give free notebooks when we were little. Like maybe it was a Caribbean thing. All right? You cannot serve two masters. You're going to either love the one, right? Or you're going to hate the other. Or else what? He will be what? Loyal. Will be what? Loyal to one, and you will despise the other. You cannot. Somebody say cannot. Say cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right, let's go over to Matthew 19 now. And we're going to read from verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. And we're going to draw these two scriptures together and we're going to pull a lesson. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good things shall I do?'" What? What good thing? What good thing? And we're going to see that thing later. "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one." You see the capital one? That one is the name of God, right? That is God. "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep going. He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear what?" You see, that's a big thing, you know. False witness is like a big thing. And we look sometimes at those commandments and we think they're small. But you go about telling lies about other people. Don't bear false witness against anyone. Amen. God hates that. Amen. "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your what? Neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, what? "If you want to be what? Perfect. Go sell," because he was doing all the other stuff, but there was a problem now. It says, "Go sell what you have and give," and what? "Give to the poor, and you will have what? Treasure in heaven." He didn't stop there. What's the next part? What? "And come and follow me." We can't just do the works. We got to follow Jesus. 22. "But when the young man heard this saying, he went," what he did? The man left. I said the man left. But he not only left, he left in a state of mind. He left sorrowful. Why? For he had great possession. Let's pause there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. I pray you will speak to us. You will change our hearts today. You will work on every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So here we see, you may be seated. Jesus said to them that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot have two. You got to have one. And in the Bible here, it's where we see that word mammon. Mammon is as a person. It is given a personality. So it refers that mammon is alive. Right? It's a personification. It is given an identity or ability to do things. Amen? So, but Jesus is saying, he did not only says that you must not have money or you must, but he's saying you cannot serve mammon. Because mammon is a spirit. I'll say that again. Mammon is a spirit. What does mammon seek to do? Now, first, this word, mammonas, right? That's a Greek word. It means riches. That's what it means, riches. I believe that these scriptures were taken out of context where the church then chose a path of poverty. And they said, we are not going to draw the riches of God because we don't want the riches to overtake us. So many, in many denominations or in many church circles, you would find where people embrace poverty as riches. They embrace the lifestyle of lack as being holy. And they put holiness alongside poverty. Look at Abraham. Was Abraham poor?
No.
Look at Jacob. Was Jacob poor?
No.
Look at Isaac. Was he poor?
No.
Look at Daniel. Was he poor?
No.
Look at Esther. Where did she go? She became what? Queen. Was she poor?
No.
So what does God want you to be? Poor?
No.
No. Look at Jesus. Was Jesus poor?
No.
Anytime Jesus needed money, he could command money. What he was doing to teach us is to command things. He was teaching us how to command things. But now he is guarding us. Now he is saying what you need to do is be careful.
Yes.
Caution. Somebody say caution.
Caution.
Be careful, because riches have a way of choking the love of God out of us.
Yes.
Riches rise up and seek, or mammon rise up and seek to take the place of God. Whenever the word mammonas is used in scripture, it has a negative connotation. And here we see the rich man. When Jesus was telling him everything that he should do, he was fine. But the moment the Lord told him, young man, if you want to get treasures in heaven or you want to enter into life, there is a distraction in your life that you need to get rid of. And the distraction is mammonas. The spirit of mammon is controlling your life. You know, sometimes you see people say, all I need is some money. What you doing? I want to get rich. And if I can get rich, I can be great. But I got news for you. If you study a lot of rich men in the world, not in the Bible, in the world, you would see the richer they got, the weirder they became. Mammon has an effect on man. Mammon has an effect. And I was contemplating this thing. And you look at documentaries of wherever the rich and famous gather. Those who are controlled by mammon, they have strange appetites.
Yes. Oh my God.
They have strange appetites. They love young girls. Hello? They like, they're old men, but their eyes are on underage girls. I'm going to preach some things here this morning. They're into same sex. And in order for them to break you into certain levels of riches, you got to do some things you never thought you would do. But because Mammonas is now leading, the spirit of Mammon has taken you over. Men start sleeping with men. Women start sleeping with women. They start sleeping with all different kinds. And they embrace it. Not only that, they get into pedophilia. Hello? You go and watch some documentaries and look and dig into things deep. You're going to see many of the famous men that we count as great men, great politicians of the world. They have strange appetites. Very, very strange appetite. And then they get down into the occult. All these things, abortion is a spirit of the occult. In the olden days, who did they burn their children? They put their children through the fire to Molech.
Yes, yes.
They would burn their children alive to the God as a sacrifice in an exchange for wealth. So many people give their children up on altars. Why you think when you come into Christ, sometimes we got to break some curses? It's because when you were born, sometimes even before you're born, way before your great-grandparents go and they say, okay, this generation, 2, 3, 4, you're going to have a son and we're going to put that son on the altar so we can get what we want.
Yeah.
I saw a family this week and every one of them can't speak. They're all dumb. And they're out of their mind. And I said, that is so demonic.
Yes.
So demonic. So when the spirit of Mammon comes in, it takes over the position of God. And it leads you down into a pit. A dark hole. You know, so many politicians are blackmailed because of their appetites. And they use it against them. So if they only open their mouth and they do contrary to the agenda, they're going to get exposed.
Hey guys, I trust you're enjoying today's sermon and you're being inspired. Would you just go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, maybe even hit the share button. Get this word to someone you know that may need it. And also, would you consider becoming a monthly partner with us at Faith Church? We're looking for people with like-minded and like passion that would help us to push the work of God forward. Consider giving a financial contribution to Faith Church to push the vision forward. Let's get back to the program. God bless you.
The spirit of Mammon wants your allegiance. It is after... It demands, it's not only after. Once you get hooked up with Mammon, it demands your allegiance. The rich man wanted to enter into life, but because his allegiance was to something else, he skipped life. He skipped eternal life. He traded eternal life for Mammon. Because that's where his allegiance was. I want to ask you this morning. You might be singing praising God. Where is your allegiance? It's your allegiance to things you can see. It's your allegiance to people. It's your allegiance to the little bit of money you got. That's what Mammon comes in and Mammon does. It wants your it demands, it doesn't want, it demands it that if you don't do this or do that, I'm going to mess you up. And that's how the dark world works. If you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do that. I'll wipe some of your family members off. I know an entire family. I can't call name because people are going to know who people is. But the demon said, they went to the Hindu priest and the Hindu priest says, 7 of you boys got to die because of the way they didn't do the work the way they're supposed to do it. I got to stop right there. Yeah, it will demand It puts a demand on your allegiance. Yes. It compels devotion. It draws your devotion away from God. That young man, he said, I honor my parents. Okay, that's outward. People can see. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't, a few other things Jesus said to him. I didn't steal. But when God asked him, when Jesus demanded now that he separated himself from mammon, the man said, no. The man said, no. Mammon is in the pursuit of your worship. Mammon is in the pursuit of your worship. Where you would skip the house of God to go make extra money. Where you would skip times of worship just to make a little extra money. Watch how mammon creeps in. And it starts, it don't take you over first and say, hey, my name is Mammon, and I'm here to rule your life. No, it is little by little, little by little, little by little. And now you feel that if you don't do it, you can't survive. You see that? It tells you, if you don't come and hustle for me, you're not going to make it. And you're going to go under. When God says, I shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory. The Bible says, if the lilies, they don't work, but yet they live. The birds of the air, they don't work, but they eat. If your heavenly Father can care for them, how much more you his children? But mammon comes and cloud your thinking. Comes and what? Cloud your thinking. And it lets you think that your security depends on him. Your security depends on him. We're living in a world where there's a constant war for your attention. There's a constant war for your attention. And companies know that. Facebook knows that. Instagram knows that. TikTok knows that. Google knows that. Macy's know that. That's why everybody's trying to promote to you. JCPenney knows that. Nordstrom knows that. Who else? Bloomingdale knows that. Those are like big stores. I was trying not to call those, but okay. Bloomingdale, God bless you. Yeah. They're after your attention. So the spirit of mammon will always seek your attention, your affection, and your allegiance. And the goal, the end pursuit, or the final goal, is to draw you away from God and pull you away. You watch many folks, they go down, they say, I'm going to start. Well, once you start making money, money then takes over. Because your money has a spirit, you know. Money has a spirit. Money can either have two spirits. It could either have the spirit of God or it has the spirit of mammon on it. The only time money has the spirit of God, only time, watch me carefully, the only time your money has the spirit of God is if your money is submitted to God. So you know if your money has the spirit of God. If you're saying, God, you're going to bless me so that I can be what? A blessing. You're going to bless me so whatever I get, there will be meat in your house. There will be substance in your house. I am a part of the end time agenda. Your goal is to get man saved, and that is the purpose of my money. Why do I want to be rich? It's so that I could pour more into God's house. Why do you need to be blessed? It's so that you can finance the work of God. Look at Pastor Darla, and just share her and a few of the other sisters. You know what these people say? They say, Pastor, I want to pay for 3 months of the TV program. You know what they're telling me? They're telling me mammon has no rule over my money. Yeah. They come together, they say, we're going to pay. How can I do it? You know what you are doing there? You're storing up treasures in heaven. Somebody comes to Jesus and the Lord looks at you and says, you paid for that program? And because you paid for that program, that life is saved. That life is saved. And they cross from death your life. I just use them as an example. But when you give your tithes and your offering, you know what you're saying, Mammon? I am surrendered to God. You're not going to ever get my allegiance. You can't take my worship. You can't take my honor. My honor belongs to Him and belongs to Him alone. So if your money is submitted to God, it shows where your allegiance is. Now let me tell you the other part. Mammon is a deceiver. Yes. Mammon is a deceiver. You know what Mammon does? Mammon comes and tells you, worship me and it's going to be all right. But there's deception. The people that do not submit their money to God, majority of the time, those are the people that are most fearful about their financial future. Did you get that?
Yes.
It comes in and it says, I'm going to take care of you. You serve me. Let money be the boss. Let riches be the boss. Be driven by riches. Be driven by the fact that you can achieve and your name can be great. But then in the back, anything the devil brings, there's a baggage that comes with it. Anything that the devil brings, there's a baggage behind it. There is always a way that you're going to pay back. Because who is he? He's the father of lies. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The devil comes to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you get hooked up with the spirit of Mammon, at first, it looks good and it feels good. But way down on the inside, you have no real rock to stand on. Because if you're trusting in the Lord, the Bible says trust in Him with all your heart. All your heart. Not on your own understanding. Your own understanding says, I must get rich. I must be rich. Yeah, that is a good desire. But what is driving the passion? What is driving? And you know, you can have a little bit of money and still serve Mammon. Because if Mammon is God, it doesn't matter the amount. You're tracking me? It doesn't matter the amount. So many people, so many families suffer because the father serves Mammon. You want me to tell you how? The daddy loves his money so much, he's not even going to buy a piece of clothes for you to wear. He loves his money so much, he won't even put a good roof over your head. He won't even buy a good car for you guys to drive in. Because he don't want to separate himself from Mammon. Mammon creeps into marriages now. Let's go here. Creeps into marriages and wreak havoc on households. This is my money. Don't touch my money. You get your own money. But I thought we were one. The Bible said the two shall become what? Hello? You go into Valentine's dinner and all you're talking about is my money. Or you're thinking, I have to spend my money to feed you. You understand the thing? So that's what you have to guard, where money becomes your priority. And you forsake the blessings that God has released in your life. You think husbands, you think you got a wife by mistake? No. God saw it fit for you to have a wife. Look how much people don't have no wife. But you have a wife. To love, to care, to support, to cherish, and to be a blessing to. Women, you think you have a husband by mistake? Look how many women don't have husbands. You have a husband to love, to care, to respect, to honor. Yes. And to submit to. Yes. You don't like that part? But if you ever want the best out of your husband, you better do those things. Because yes. That's what the word says. Amen. Wives, submit yourself where? To your own. Don't let Mammon say, okay, I'll repeat it. Don't let Mammon creep in and say, you don't make enough money for me to honor you. where you forget what God commands of you, what God expects of you, and you put a mammon in front of it, and you disrespect and dishonor your blessing, the head of your household, the covering of the household. You dishonor him. Maybe you feel you can pray better than him, so you dishonor him. You feel you're higher in the things of God, so you dishonor and you belittle and bring him down and treat him like a boy. No. You get trouble with God. Your prayers are going to be hindered. God's going to look at you and say, you holy misfit. Oh, Jesus, let me not go there. Yeah. So, now, let's go. Luke 16:11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful, look here. We all cry, oh God, give me more of you. I want to know you more. I want more of you. 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 Oh, reveal the deep things of God to me, the things of the Spirit. Watch this word. Therefore, if you have not been what? Faithful. The word faithful means loyal. If you have not been loyal with what? The unrighteous mammon. Now, money cannot get saved. Oh, Lord, save my money and take it to heaven. It's not going. Lord, I pray this house will be saved and come to heaven with me. It's not going nowhere. The Bible said, naked we came and naked we're going to what? Go. Oh, Lord, save Rexy. Rexy ain't going to heaven. Bow wow. Not little bow wow. He can go to heaven. Right? Yeah. He's not going to heaven. But it says, if you cannot be loyal, faithful, consecrated to God with unrighteous things. Who will commit to you? Who will commit to what? Your trust or your bank. Who will commit to you what? True riches. Because money is not true riches. Money can be a sign of God's favor in your life. Because you've been faithful to it, God can trust you so he can release more to you. Tracking? But money is not true riches. The book of James tells us what? True riches is when a man gets saved. Right? But you're saying, God, more of you. Higher levels, deeper depths. God goes like, I give you something to work on. What are you doing with it? I give you $100. Can you give me 10 out of the 100? He said, if you cannot be faithful with unrighteous things, I am not going to take the deep things and put it into your account for you to mismanage it again. You want to see how a person really is? Watch how they deal with money. Watch what people do when they get money. Some people, the moment they get paid, they go and drink. You can't give that person more money. The moment they get money, they go look for prostitutes. You can't give them more money. The moment they get some money, they're ready to look for the next big party. You can't give them more money. Because what are they doing? Wasting. They're not stewarding or managing well what they have. Stop crying out for God and start managing what you already have. Don't let mammon rule you. Don't let the spirit of mammon rise up in your life and rob you of what God has for you. Proverbs 21:2 says, a person may think their own ways are right, but God weighs your heart. God weighs your what? Are you learning anything? God weighs our heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, discerning the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So don't cry out to God for more, this, that. And your money is not submitted to God. You cannot serve God and mammon. We saw the rich ruler when the Lord told him to go and sell. Now, let's put that scripture up. I want to show you something. Let me go. Matthew 16, he says, And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. He didn't say give it all to the poor. He said, sell what you have and be a blessing to the poor. There is a portion that is reserved for you, but there's a portion that is reserved for God. There's a portion, 90% is yours, 10% is God's. Whatever you commit to God belongs to Him. I commit 15% to God. That's where I am right now. I give 15% to God. Pastor Cheryl looked at the report and she said, based on the money we made last year, you should have given X and Y tithes. I didn't even answer her. She probably didn't realize why. But she probably didn't remember. I say it over and over. Whatever comes in from our business, we give what? 15% to the Lord. Right? So, that's all the special and all that stuff, Sharon. Right? But we give over and above to God. Amen? So, don't think that God is saying, bring all that you got. You watching me? God is not asking you for that. He's just asking you to be loyal, to be faithful with unrighteous mammon. Don't let unrighteous mammon take the place of God. In this young man's life, he could not separate himself from what he had. When God said to Abraham, I will what? Bless you. And I will what? Make you a blessing. The moment you get blessed, what does that say?
You gotta be a blessing.
I'll go it over. God said he will bless you and make you a blessing. The moment you get blessed, what should happen? Become a blessing. The first person you should become a blessing to is to God. The first person we should be a blessing. But I tell God, it's a blessing. He's the one that blesses me. Yeah. But then he requires of you to return the tithes. He commands you to bring your tithes. Bring your offerings where? Into his what? Storehouse. Into his church. So that is what the first person. We always say we first want to honor God. Isn't that true? So begin now with honoring God with your money. If you're not doing that, then the spirit of mammon is on your finances. And the spirit of mammon comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's going to find a way. In the book of Haggai, they put their money where? In bags of holes. Bags of holes. So the rich man, he couldn't handle that. And he left sorrowful. But there's a point I want to show us here quickly. In that same chapter, go to 23. And this, we may often be challenged with this because we're saying, how can rich people get saved? How can the rich man get saved? Look at it. Jesus said to his disciples, so after the young man left, the man walked away. And the man walked away sorrowful because he had great riches. Look here now. 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, what he said next? Come on, read. Read up on the screen what it says. All right, no. First word, what it says? That is with assurance. He is giving them now assurance concerning that man that walked away. Watch what it says. Assuredly I say to you that it is hard rather for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He said that's what you've heard. Right? That's what you've heard. You know, sometimes we don't witness to rich people. We always look for the broken, battered, abused, reject. But we don't go to Wall Street and witness to rich people. Do you know they need Jesus?
Yeah.
Did that ever cross your mind? That we don't go to a 5-star hotel and stand up outside and target the people when they're coming out to give them a track to tell them about the Lord. Because we think they're good. They look nice. We know rich people, sometimes those are the biggest perverts in the world.
Yes.
That needs help. Bad.
Yes.
And they're destroying other people because they have power. They can destroy lives. You understand what I'm saying? Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter. It is hard, rather hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. 24, let's go. And again, I say to you, assurance again. He's repeating himself. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. When his disciples heard it, they were what? Greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved? You know, getting saved has nothing to do with money. Getting saved, if someone is hooked up to the spirit of mammon, they can be broke as a doornail. They can be broke as a doornail and still refuse God. So don't think when you witness to simple people, they're going to respond. Don't gauge the response based on the social status of people. No, it is when God knocks on the heart of a man. It's when the Spirit of God draws a man. Whether they're simple or they're complex. When the Holy Spirit grabs a man's attention and says, you've done it your way. And you've failed. You tried and you tried everything. And you have failed. You have what? Failed. Now, let's go. But Jesus looked at them and says, look here now. With men, this is what?
Impossible.
This is what?
Impossible.
But with God, we quote the scripture all the time. But God is saying, those people that you think will never get saved. The people you think will never surrender to me. I've already marked them for the day of salvation. Just go forth and reap the harvest. Whether they are rich, filthy rich. What kind of rich you have? Stinking rich? Or the dirt poor? Because everyone that comes to Christ needs the same turnaround. Did you hear what I just said? Everyone that comes to Jesus must surrender and say that you, Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. You are the Savior of the world. God raised you from the dead. I believe you died for my sins. And I lay my sins on you and I take your righteousness. So, the spirit of mammon drove him away. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples, anyone can be saved. Everyone can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I don't want you to be intimidated by people's social levels. Invite them to the Lord. Go ahead and tell them about Jesus. Be free. Be open. Say, man, I always tell you, your testimony is good enough. Share what you have experienced with God. That's the greatest pull. Because I can't say, oh, this lady experienced God and that's how I serve. No, I serve him because I've experienced him for myself. All right. So, the spirit of mammon wants your worship, wants your focus, wants your loyalty, and then it robs you of your purpose. You cannot fulfill the purpose that God has set you out to be a blessing and to be a life changer. So lift the burdens of people. You're not able to do that. Why? Because you're hooked up with mammon and all you're thinking about is me, myself, and I. But I want to show you the opposite. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4. There was a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas, my God, this is a good picture of wealth in the kingdom. How we are to operate when God bless us. Acts 4:34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands, you see that? lands and houses, sold them. They had surplus, right? There's an S there, right? They had houses, they had lands. So they had for them and their family, but then they had some extra. It says, those who had extra, what they did? They sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. What were they doing? They were being obedient. When God bless you, you can be a blessing. They were not tied to the things they own. I always tell people, I don't like too much things. I thank God for what I have. Because if I ever like something, God says, give it away. I put something on my vision board, and my kids saw it, and they said, if you get that, God is going to let you give it away. Because anytime I get one of those things that I like, and I'm not going to tell you guys what it is, God always tells me to give it away. And what I do, I release it. Because I don't serve that thing. I thank God for it. I love it. I enjoy it. But when God says bye-bye, it's bye-bye. Because it's going to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? And it's going to prove God to somebody else. All right. But what they did, they freely released so that others can be blessed. When you give your tithes and your offering into the storehouse, you bring resources into the kingdom of God. So that the church can have a what? Impact. When Ananias and Sapphira, oh God, we don't want to go there. Those people love their riches. Maybe we'll go there. All right, let's go. Verse 36. I'm going to swing back. 35. And laid them at the apostles. Oh, that's it. It brings it right there. They didn't sell it and went and distribute it on their own. No, they brought it to the storehouse. The devil tells you, take your money and give everywhere else, but don't give to the house of God. A lot of people can do a lot of good and give away. A lot of people come to church can do a lot of good with money. But to tell them to obey the word of God and bring the tithes and offering to the source, they're like, no, we can't do that. But they did not sell it and distribute it on their own. No, they brought it to the house of God, to the feet of the apostles. That's why when some preachers preach, people still put money at their feet. They get that principles from that, right? So they took it to the house of God that those who are in charge know they can distribute it. Not only that, they got the blessing of the special offering. They got the blessing of a special offering. Now, they laid it at the apostles' feet and they distributed to each one as had need. 36. And Joseph, who was also called Barnabas by the apostle, which is translated what? Son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see a stark contrast between the two. One, they were all rich. Barnabas, who's an apostle, and you'll see in Acts later, they'll call him an apostle. He had riches. But was the riches his God? No. Was money his God? No. Was his property his God? No. He was able to part ways with things so that he can please God. So that other people's life can be better. But the spirit of mammon comes in and say, what is yours is yours. This money is my money. I work for this. I labor. You don't see that God is in the back causing you to have favor to increase. He said it is I that gives you what? The power to get well. But the spirit of mammon comes in and says, I will make you rich. I told you he's a deceiver. He seeks to mimic what God has already purposed. Amen? So, but today, we're not going to be like the young rich ruler. No, we're going to be like Barnabas. We're going to release what we have. We're going to seek the kingdom first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many things? All things will be added unto us. We're going to manifest the power and the glory of God through what God has blessed us with. We're going to please God with the resources he has released to us. We're going to say, you know what? We're going to stand up and be a part of the move of God. We're going to finance the work of God. The enemy is not going to come in and lie to me and have me hold what God has blessed me with. I'm going to send my money to world missions. Hello? I'm going to fund the things of God to see souls get saved, to see crusades happen, and the lost can hear the gospel and they can see the manifest power of the living God. Of the living God. They part ways. I want to tell you today, this is one of those sermons that don't make you shout. This is one of the sermons that will cause you to check your heart. And I wanted to end it last week, but the Spirit of God said, no, Sam, you got one more week. I said, Lord, again? I said, this is Valentine's. I want to tell the people about relationship. He's like, no, there's a bigger relationship. There's a bigger relationship where money and riches come in and draws out the focus of God, takes the place of God, where we're reserving our strength to serve mammon. We reserve strength to make mammon, and we don't want to release our strength to God. When the Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. What are you going to flatline for? You want to flatline and work? I want to tell you a story. My dad was a security guard for many years. And one of the guys that worked at one of the front desks in a building, you know, he said, I'm going to retire now. I'm going to buy myself a Cadillac, and I'm going to enjoy life. My dad left that building. A taxi plowed into that front door. And he died right at that desk. The things of this life, we cannot build our lives on them. Don't look at your account and say, I am going to live my life and I'm going to enjoy my life when I get old. Or when I get old, I'm going to serve God. Or when I get old, I'm going to invest my life when I retire. No, the Bible said today is the day. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Listen, we got to stand up and says, I'm going to enlist in the army of God. All that God blessed me with belongs to him. Listen, hear me good. I want you to take care. When God bless you with money, he gives you money for a few things. First, to honor him. Second, to take care of your family. Do not neglect your children. Do not neglect your family. Do not be a miser when it comes to your family. Take good care. Even yourself. Some people rather wear the oldest clothes, not comb their hair, not spray no perfume because they don't want to waste their money. And you smell disgusting. No wonder nobody wants to communicate with you. Because you have slaying power. Ooh. Yeah. You understand? Don't miser even yourself. Because that's not how God has made you. He said he has given you all things to what? Enjoy. All things to what? Enjoy. Amen.
Welcome back, guys. I trust that you enjoyed today's sermon and that you are ready to take action. Don't just hear the word, but put the word to practice. Remember to connect with us on all of our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Threads, TikTok. Just come on over there and follow us. And remember to subscribe to this channel so that you'll get your notifications every time we either go live or we upload new content. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for those that are watching right now. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them and you will encourage them. I pray as they've heard the word, they will take action in Jesus' name and their lives will never be the same. Amen.